welcome. So for the next 1 hour, 1 hour, 10 minutes, we are going to be discussing about Windows 7 application compatibility. And I'm sorry, I do not speak Slovenian, so it's in English. And you're stuck with me, too. So without further ado, and we were also having a problem with the microphone, so I'm a genius, technical genius. And if you can't hear me, please raise your hand. Okay, quick agenda. What we are going to be discussing, what at least I'm going to be discussing about general Windows 7 features, just really, really quickly, and brief history of Windows versions, and compatibility modes, and then shims, layers, application compatibility toolkit, and if time permits, we'll also go into user access control. So anybody has played with the application compatibility toolkit? Cool. Couple of hands, four. Cool. So if you have any questions, please feel free. How many of you, quick show of hands, how many of you are using Windows 7? Thank you. I'm using Windows 2008 R2. So, okay, where did we come from? Windows 1.1. We had taskbar then, and Windows 3.1, Microsoft Bob. Anybody know this? How many of you know this? It's been 31 years since Microsoft Bob came out. I think it was on the market for like 2 weeks. So it was a big product. We were competing with Apple then. We still are. Windows 95, this is where we actually started with Active Desktop and several features like Real Explorer came into picture. So actually, when we start discussing about application compatibility, I might refer back to Windows 95 a couple of times. I might, but we'll actually look at that too. And Windows XP, all of us know, all of us love it. It's Windows XP. And with Windows Vista, now, most of us, when Windows Vista came out, we said, why would you change all of the security features, which I'm so much used to with Windows XP? Now, we'll actually talk about all those things in a little while. Now, just a little recap of Windows 7 features. Now, we did modify a lot of things with Windows 7. Like Windows XP had indexing service. We do have indexing service now too, but now we have actually increased the performance of the system. Like I could directly go into my I can click on Windows button and just start typing, and it would actually do all the search for me. And I'm not using my start menu anymore. So I just type Office, and it goes Word or Excel or whatever you want. We have jump lists. We have several things. Now, I've underlined one thing, problem steps recorder. Has anybody used this? Only one. Two. For the people who have not used this, this is one of the amazing things which we actually introduced with Windows 7. So I'm just going to go PSR and look at this. So by default, what we have with Windows 7 is something called problem step recorder. Now, it's not only for problems. It's also for any kind of documentation which you can do, if you might want to do. Let me just show you a couple of things. And all I have to do is start record. And OK, it's saying that you have some Windows running as administrator. That's OK. I'll click OK. And I'm just going to do a couple of actions. I'm doing it on my local desktop over here. But you can actually see I'm bringing the notepad over here. I'm typing test. I'm doing a few other things. I'm going to say file, save, and whatever. So let's do a stop record. Now it's going to ask me, you want to save this? 1, 2, 3. And it saves as a zip file. 1, 2, 3 zip file. And I'm close that guy. I'm just opening. So it saves as an MHD file, actually. Now, I'm going to open this file up so that we can actually see what it did. Now, right over here, if you see, it actually records everything that you did. So it has nothing to do with application compatibility. But if you are supporting major, if you are supporting a lot of systems within your organization, if any user ever has an issue, just tell them, start PSR, and click on click one, click two, click three. Look at that. It records everything. And then it actually gives you everything that the user did. So by default, we always have this problem step recorder on every Windows 7 system. It's on Windows 7 and Windows 2008 R2. So if you guys like it, please use it. It's always there. Cool feature, right? Tough crowd. Okay, let's go back to the presentation. Shift F5. Okay. So now I'm coming back to the application compatibility thing. Over here, with Windows Vista, we actually started modifying where we actually save user information. Earlier, with Windows 7, Windows XP, we had C documents and settings, and then your user profile information went there, right? Now, with Windows Vista and above, we actually change it to C users. However, if you actually see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open a command prompt, and I'm going to bring it over here, and I'm going to do CLS. So by default, we know, let me go back to cd/. By default, we know it's C users. However, I can also go cd documents and settings slash my user profile is sandke, and I can go cd desktop. Exactly like Windows XP. It's nothing different. Whatever you had before with your Windows XP, we still have it. We still have it. It's just a symbolic link. So what we are primarily making sure is if you have applications which were working on Windows XP, we want to give you the easiest migration path. We want to make sure that the compatibility is always there, right? So you see it right here. And you can go cd dot dot, dir, everything that was there before in Windows XP, right there. So there you go. So by default, if any of you are still using Windows XP, your applications are writing into C document, my documents or something like that, we still support all of those things. Oh, I have a tendency of speaking very fast, so if you have any questions, please tell me to slow down. Okay, going back to Windows versions, Windows NT was 4.0, Windows 7 is 6.1, Windows Vista is 6.0. It's really not 7.0, it's 6.1. The core did not change. The core really did not change from Windows Vista to Windows 7. The user interface face changed a lot. However, the core did not change. So you might want to have a discussion with me later if you want to know what are all the changes which happened from Vista to 7. Okay, now we are actually getting into compatibility features. What really happens when you try to run an application which is working on Windows XP or 98 or Windows 2000 or 95, you try to run it on Windows 7. Now, you might have a setup failure, a launch failure, or errors and crashes, your application installed and configured properly, you might have errors and failures, or you might have some functionality which works, some functionality which does not work. How do we fix that? That's why we are here. How do we make sure that we fix that? We have a toolkit called Application Compatibility Toolkit, which actually helps you. Now, if you're at home, you might not want to use Application Compatibility Toolkit at all. You might not want to use it. So I'll also show you a way where you do not need to use ACT or Application Compatibility Toolkit, or you might want to use it. So we'll look at both. Now, few of the things what developers do is they check for, by default, what they do is they check for OS version. Like, I want you to be Windows XP. Really, what I want you to do is check for version. If version greater than 5.0, please work. Check for feature, rather than checking for, hey, does this DLL exist? If the DLL exists, I want the functionality to work. Now, what we want you to do is check for the feature. Does the error functionality exist? If the error functionality doesn't exist, maybe your graphic card is not compatible with the high graphic your application might be using. right? So check for minimum OS version, several things. Now, potential what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into a demo and then come back and we'll actually look at the slide. Any questions so far? Okay. So we have this, I'm looking at my desktop over here. So we have the simple application. What it primarily is doing is it's checking for XP. So if I click on that, what it's saying is you are not using Windows XP. Right? This application installed fine, but it's now it's saying that you're not using Windows XP. So the easiest way, anybody know the easiest way of fixing this? No? Okay. That's fine. Going to the compatibility, check that. Windows XP SP3, apply, click OK. Now it's going to give me a warning. This is the user access control warning. What it's saying, if you actually pay attention to user access control, there are three different colors of your user access control dialog boxes, which we'll be discussing later. But this is a potentially dangerous situation which Windows operating system thinks about. So we'll discuss about that in a little while, but just keep that in mind. Let's click OK, check XP. Hey, you are using Windows XP. So it did not take me a long time to fix this. What I did was I made Windows operating system actually talk to this application and fool this application saying you are using Windows XP. Fool this application. We are not really behaving as a Windows XP. It's lying to the application, primarily lying to the application. So what really happens is when an application talks to the Windows operating system, a shim engine process actually intercepts a call and says, oh, you're actually doing an API call to the Windows operating system and saying, give me the version number. Since I've already put a compatibility mode on this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you all the values for Windows XP. So we'll actually come back to compatibility mode in just like a few slides. Any question? Okay, I'm also going to go back over here, and we can actually look at a few other properties. So over here, we have the compatibility modes. A compatibility mode, primarily what it defines is a combination of shims. Okay, I've not defined what a shim is yet. I'll come back to that again. So a compatibility mode over here, what we are showing you is I can support all the way from Windows 95 to Windows Vista. So if you are trying to do anything, we have the compatibility modes out there. Compatibility modes is a combination of multiple shims or combination of multiple fixes for the application. Okay? Now, we also have a few other properties. Settings, running 256 colors, 256 colors or various different things. Now, we also have privilege level, run program as administrator. Now, one of the things you should understand is whenever you fix an application using this option, it's per user. It's per user by default. If you want it for all users, you have to click on that button. When you click on that button, you need to have administrative privileges on that box. Right? By default, what we are trying to do is we are trying to take away the admin privileges for users. Like what we mean to say that is admin privileges are strictly for maybe support technicians. Right? A general user does not need to have admin privileges. All they are doing is web surfing, using Excel, PowerPoint, and some other applications. Maybe we do not need admin privileges for them. They're not really doing anything with the drivers. They're not installing applications every day. So there's a pro and a con. Coming back to the slide, applies multiple mitigations, not just a version lie. It can be customized. Previous level, it forces an user access control prompt. Now, we'll also talk about the prompts in a little while. Do you guys deal with user access control at all? Has anybody gone all the way down to the user access control? one person, two person. We really don't want you to do that. So per user by default, we discuss all this thing. Now, the biggest problem with this is it's not the easiest one to deploy. It's really not the easiest one to deploy. You might want to make a registry hack. Yes, you can do that, but really not the easiest way to deploy. If you have 10,000 desktops within your organization, would you want to go right-click or tell your user, go right-click, set compatibility mode? Now, whenever you reinstall this application, this property goes away. So we might have to think about it. Okay. We just did that. Okay, let's come back to shims. Okay, shims. Why we actually defined shims is because this goes back all the way to 95 and Windows 98. When Windows 95 came out and then Windows 98 came out, now we needed to have a capability of supporting some features from Windows 95. So what we created was we created this MS Code DLL, which actually behaved as if it was Windows 95. And then, from then, we started extending upon it. We started extending upon it and introducing more features. Now, there are several shims. There are about 365 different shims available. A shim is a functionality, a API functionality call, which actually gives you a value back. That's all it's doing. It gives you a value back saying, yes, you're either Windows 95 or Windows XP. Yes, your resolution is 256 colors or 640 by 480. Realistically, it's 1920 by 1080. So we are letting the application work by just giving it the value it requires. Truly, it might not work. Not all shims make your application work. Not all shims make your application work. You have to know that. And it just simulates the application. It's just simulates a value that an application wants. It does not truly give you change the behavior of the operating system. Okay. A compatibility mode. It's a collection of shims, a collection of several mitigations. And it emulates a specific operating system or compatibility condition. Now, we also saw the compatibility tab. When you drop down, we are showing you Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows XP, SP1, SP2, SP3, and even Windows Vista too. So we are giving you several compatibility modes. However, you can define your own compatibility mode as well. Let's say you are in a huge organization and you are going to do the application compatibility for your applications. So you can define your own compatibility modes. And I'll also show you how to do that as well. Coming back, well, shim database. So where do all of these values come from? How do I know what these values are? So we'll actually look at that now, and then we'll come back to how they really work. Okay, I'm going to remove this just so that I can use the same thing. Version check. Okay, it works. Okay, you're not using Windows XP. That's good. Earlier I was saying is we have something called Application Compatibility Toolkit. So if you install that, by default, you get several of the programs. You get Application Compatibility Toolkit. Now I'm going to use a compatibility administrator over here. So open. Yes. Oh, if you saw, the user access control box is in a different color now. Earlier, it was in an orange color. Now it's in a blue color. So we'll talk about the difference in a little while. Now, by default, if you actually see, we have several compatibility modes, which are actually talking about. Earlier, I used Windows XP SP3 mode. What it's trying to tell me is, hey, I'm going to give you responses for all of these things. So when you use a compatibility mode, it's more than one mitigation. When you use a compatibility mode, it's more than one mitigation, right? You understand that? Okay. So what I was also trying to show you is, so compatibility fixes. All of these things are individual shims, right? Now, if you have a doubt of what this one actually does is, You click it, I'll click on over here, and it actually shows you the definition of what it actually means, what it's going to return you. So most of the shims are documented. There are a few shims which are not documented as well. There are a few shims which are not documented. So if you ever are in a situation where the shim is not documented, you might want to contact one of the Microsoft guys, like me or Bastian or anybody, so we can give you the response for that, right? They're in a specific situation which you use. Now, one of the things which you should also understand is you cannot build this. You can use this to fix your application, but you cannot build a shim, right? The shims are supplied by Microsoft. They're updated using Windows updates, right? We will not take away a shim. We'll add more shims. You can use them to fix your application. You can use them to do anything. However, you cannot create a shim. You can create an application fix. You can create an application fix using the shims provided, right? Okay. And where would you find these, actually? So the compatibility administrator is one of the way where you can actually see what are all the shims available within a system. Now, truly, though, they're actually at C, Windows, App Patch. These are the DLLs which are actually giving us all the shims. This is the shim database. SDB is a shim database, right? So what I'm going to do now is, earlier I used a compatibility mode to fix the application, right, so that it thinks that it's Windows XP. I'm going to use the compatibility administrator to actually fix that application. Come back over here. Let's say create new. So you can create your own compatibility mode right over here. Like, let's say your environment has Windows XP, Windows 7 machines. You're fixing an application. When you're fixing an application, if you have several applications which does do the same functionality, you can create a compatibility mode, include several of those fixes, and try that fix for your application at any given point of time. So let's do an application fix and version check fix. Okay. My caps lock. Version check fix. There we go. And let's browse to the application. Not SDB. See, workshops, Windows 7 application compatibility, demos, version check, click next. Now what it's doing, trying to tell you is, hey, do you want to use any of the compatibility modes which are available? Now over here, the first way, the proper way of doing it is actually select the individual fix. Don't just select a compatibility mode. A compatibility mode has several fixes, which might not be applicable for your application, right? So by default, what I really want you guys to do is try to put individual fixes, right? Do not select a compatibility mode by default. If you're just testing, playing around, yes, compatibility mode works, right? But by default, we want you to use individual fixes. So what I'm going to do is go next. And all I want to do is I want to go to Windows XP version live. So there we go. Windows XP version live. So over here, all it's going to do is when this application runs, it's only going to give the value 5.1 to it. It's not going to give any other Windows XP values. What is my profile information? It's going to give you C users, so and so. So any value this application is going to work is still going to work as Windows 7. However, only when it checks for what is my operating system version, then it's going to give the Windows XP value. Okay, click next. Oh, one of the other things. There are several shims which might need parameters. Like in a sense, like earlier, you might be writing to C colon slash ABC folder. Now, C colon slash ABC might not exist in Windows 7. So If you wanted to fix that, we can actually specify parameters over here too. So there are several shims which take parameter values, like local mapped object. Local mapped object is for whatever you are, for the path which you want to specify, right? So click next. Now, one of the things which you will also see is, what are all the conditions which are applicable for this application? What is my version number? What is my executable name? What is my company name? So when you create an application fix, it depends upon your executable parameters, right? So it's over here, it's showing, I'm going to execute for bin file version 1.0, and product name is version check, file version is version check. Please make sure that you have at least 4 or 5 boxes checked, because if you guys are building several applications within your organization, and you just select the corporation name, this is going to execute for everybody, right? We don't want it to happen to that. So let's click finish. There we go. Let's save this guy first. Or check. Let's click on desktop. There, that we go. And you can right-click on this database and click install. The database was successfully installed. Now you see install databases. Word check. Now we can also go back to our folder where we were seeing earlier. Look at the custom custom folder. That one has it over there, right? Now let's go back to our application and see if it's fixed. Earlier we were getting that issue, right? That you're not Windows XP. Now we don't have the dialog box anymore, which was coming up, the user access control dialog box. Check XP, you're running Windows XP. So it takes few iterations to fix all of the issues which you might have with your application. However, you can do it. You don't have to get the user access control prompts, right? You can fix it the way which we are showing over here. Now, one of the things which I also tell you is, when you install the application compatibility toolkit, we by default, we give you an application called stock viewer, right? We give you an application called stock viewer, and we also provide you the how to fix this application, right? So if you are playing around with application compatibility toolkit, please definitely look at it. Like by default, if I go click on stock viewer, you must be an administrator to run this application. Now, we have several issues with this application, like browser does not work, it requires IE6, but Windows 7 ships with Windows 8, IE8. So there are several issues with this application, which the PDF file which we are giving with this walks you through every step of how to fix this application, right? I don't want to demo this application because, hey, I know how to fix this application. Okay, coming back to the slide. So what we were talking about earlier is the system SDBs are in the C Windows App Patch folder, and the custom ones are in the custom folder, whatever you create, right? Okay, how does it actually work? So when you have an application, when you really have an application, this is what was happening. It was going to Windows operating system, and it was giving a value of 6.1, but it was truly did not want 6.1. Then we used two different things for this application, right? First time, what we did was we used a compatibility mode, right? First time, I used a compatibility mode for this application, so it fixed, it gave it a lot of mitigations, and it said, okay, work as Windows XP for me. So, however, In the latest fix that we did, we just used one mitigation, one shim. So what primarily happened was the shim intercepted the call to the Windows operating system and gave back Windows 5.1, right? Version number is 5.1. So that's one of the mitigations. The next one, now, however, if this application was interacting with a third-party application, or it was creating a new task. If it was creating a new task, what would have happened is when it went and asked for when it was asking for application details or Windows went to Windows operating system, asked for details, it would get, hey, your version 6.1, I'm version 6.1, I'm not 5.1, because it's a new process. It's a new process. However, a compatibility mode, what it does is it actually applies it throughout. A compatibility mode applies it throughout. Make sense? So when you have applications, which could spawn up new tasks, you want to create a compatibility mode. Right? You want to create a compatibility mode. Any question? Right. Okay, so the I'm repeating the question. So the question is, where do I install the application compatible toolkit? Do I install it on the server, or do I have to install it on all machines? You don't have to install it on all machines. However, the SDB file which we created, we have to install it on all machines. So I have a couple of slides for that. However, to answer your question, you don't have to install the application compatibility toolkit on all machines. You just have to install the application fix. Application fix can be a MSI file or a SDB file. The MSI file is created by a tool called Standard User Analyzer, and we'll also look at that too, right? Did I answer your question? Cool. So a child will also, if you create a compatibility mode, it will also respond for that. Okay. Review. Individual shims fix one problem, right? A shim is going to fix only one problem. It's not going to fix everything that you want. Layer can contain multiple shims. Layer is also going to go for child applications as well. That's all. Okay. We did that too. Okay. So Windows 7, we have several virtualized shims all the way from Windows 95, right? Layers, we have all the way from Windows 95 again. Cool. And you can use Windows Compatibility Manager to look at all of these things. Okay. How the shimming process works? What it initially does is it loads the shim DLL, and then it retrieves the APIs. So whenever your application is actually loaded up, what internally it does is it evaluates what are all the API calls this application is going to do to Windows operating system. Then the shim DLL is going to say, hey, I have an application fix for all of these calls. So it intercepts those calls and responds back only to that calls. Only to that calls, right? Not to every call. Cool. So the loader maps the executable to statically linked assemblies, and then the shim engine applies the fixes and gives you the process. Jumped. So earlier we were also talking about it. Please make sure that you have at least 4 or 5 checkboxes which are applicable for that executable, not a generic process. Right? For that executable, not a generic process. Okay. So creating custom SDBs. Now this was your question as well. So you can use Compatibility Administrator or Standard User Analyzer. We did not discuss about Standard User Analyzer yet. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. So you can create a SDB, and what you can do is you can copy the SDB. You can copy the SDB file which we created onto your machine and run this SDB, SDB install.exe, and that's going to fix the application on that machine. So you can either do it by group copy or even System Center too. You can push this SDB file and execute the script. Now, Standard User Analyzer fixes a few things, and it's in the next few slides, actually. It fixes about 7 different mitigations, and it gives you MSI file as well. So you can push the MSI file to all of the applications, all of the servers. Okay. Now we are going to discuss a little more about Application Compatible Toolkit. So, application compatibility toolkit gives you access to the SHIM database through the compatibility administrator. It also gives you a tool called Standard User Analyzer. It also gives you another tool called Application Compatibility Manager. Now, these two are of completely different purposes, and we'll actually look at them too. A Standard User Analyzer, now I'll actually run this application, run this tool, and then we'll actually come back to this slide. Coming back over here, so let's go, start, Application Compatibility Toolkit, Developer Test Tools, Standard User Analyzer. Okay, there we go. Okay, let me go browse. So I have a demo application which is called Standard User Analyzer Test. So if I were to execute this application directly, open, what it's trying to do is it's going to try to write to a file system, to a registry system. It's trying to try to write an INI file to protected folders. So in Windows 7 and Windows Vista, we have something secure locations. C Windows is one of the secure location. C drive by default is a secure location. We won't allow you to write files onto it. You can create a folder and then write into that folder. However, by default, we don't want you to be writing into the C drive by itself. And a C program files is a secure location. Any of the folders within the C program files are secure locations as well. So it's going to try to do that. Now, so let's select that application. Now, does anybody know what elevate means? I can define it. So elevation. Elevation, by default, in Windows 7, what we have something called a standard user token versus an elevated token. A standard user token, by default, when you log into Windows 7 or Windows Server 2008 operating system, we give you a default token called a standard user token. And I'll show you the difference of that in like few clicks. So let's actually go into command. And I'm also going to, and there's some, did you guys know you can do Control-Shift-Click to actually elevate any of the objects? So Control-Shift-Click. So I have Windows this way, no. This is the admin window, this is the regular window, right? I hope everybody knows this command. Who am I? / all. Who am I? By default, I'm logged in as an admin user. However, if I do any default action, I have only these privileges. Set, shut down, undock, various different things. However, as an administrator, like really using the permissions which I have in my system, I have several of the permissions. So this is the easiest way where I can show you how many permissions do I really have as a standard user versus a admin user. A admin user can install all of the application. A standard user can install install applications. However, when it tries to touch any of the protected locations, it's going to say, hey, I want you to elevate yourself. That's the reason why you always get, hey, do you want to allow this program to continue? That's one of the reasons why you get, do you want this application to continue? Okay. We were looking at standard user analyzer. Let's come back to that. So I selected this application. I don't want to elevate this. I really don't want to elevate this. Now, there's also this feature called virtualization. With Windows 7 and Windows Vista, we introduced a feature called virtualization. What it really it means is when, like, most of your Windows XP applications, by default, they write to C program files, and whatever your application install folder was, it used to write the files over there. So now what we want to do is, because these are protected locations, we are not allowing applications to write into there. So we introduced a feature called virtualization. So what I'm going to do is, I don't want it to virtualize as well. So I'm disabling the virtualization. and it's going to launch. So how this application actually works is it launches your application. It launches your application, and your application is going to work by default. Now, has anybody heard of a phrase called LuaPriv, least user access privileges? By default, whenever an application runs, it's going to try to take the least user access privileges, right? It does not want you to have all the permissions. Only when it requires all of the permissions, it's going to ask you, hey, can you allow me to use all of the permissions that you have? So I'm going to run the test, launching MMC. Okay, so this ran all of the tests. Now, when I close this application, now what this application actually did was the standard user analyzer. It intercepted all of the calls which this application was doing to Windows operating system. So what it internally uses was is an application called App Verifier. Has anybody used that before? If you have, so one of the things which you might want to introduce within your environment is something called App Verifier. App Verifier checks for an unmanaged code or how it's accessing. So any of the API calls to Windows operating system is going to capture that. So standard user analyzer uses App Verifier to intercept all of the calls which your application is doing, and then it's going to read all the logs, and it's actually going to show you what this application is totally doing. So let's go look at various things which it was trying to do. So it's trying to say, hey, yeah, you were trying to, your application was trying to write to C drive SUA test and create file, access is denied. However, if I did not disable virtualization, it would have allowed it to write, and we'll actually talk about that in a little while. So this application actually shows you all of the things which this application was trying to do, and by default are not compatible with Windows 7. So if I wanted to fix this application, I could go mitigations, apply mitigations, or export mitigations to MSI. So this application actually allows you to fix an application. It does not fix it all the way, because standard user analyzer captures only 7 of the mitigations. So it might not fix the application all the way. It only captures 7 different mitigations. So we do have this tool. And this actually shows you, in every tab, it actually is showing you, hey, you're trying to write to registry. Registry is a protected location as well, so it's not allowing you to. Now, it's trying to write an INI file to see Windows. It's not allowing you to. Now, it's trying to do something else. It's trying to check this token that I'm part of administrator. It did not allow me to. So it's trying to do several things. If I run the application as an administrator, all of these things will be fixed. However, I really don't want to give the user admin privileges. You can fix this application by saying mitigation, apply mitigations, and it's actually showing you, hey, these are all the mitigations which I'm going to be applying. Right? Okay. So that's for standard user analyzer. Coming back, so standard user analyzer, again, fixes 7 different things. How it really works, we were actually discussing about it, but it's here a slide. Application runs on Windows, but the standard user analyzer, which is the executable, talks to, intercepts all of the calls using the application verifier, which logs all of these calls, and then this log is converted into a really XML file, come on, which then is represented into our standard user analyzer. So when you run this application, it actually shows you in every tab of what are all the things which are wrong with your application. If you have the PDB file for your application or your symbols for your application, it can even show you what line of code your application is actually doing wrong, right? So, which I did not show you earlier. Let's come back over here for a second. developer tools, standard user analyzer. So symbols pat. So if you have symbols for your application, it will actually tell you which line of code your application is doing wrong. So it, you can give it back to your developers and say, hey, here's where it's broken. Please fix it. Okay, coming back. Okay, as I was saying, it captures seven different things, like elevation, force admin access. So we have all of the shims available to you as well. If you want, you can use compatibility administrator to use all of these things, or you can use standard user analyzer to fix this application as well, right? Any questions so far? No. This application has to be installed on that machine. So I understand what you're saying. If you have if you're running an application from a network pad, it's really not using your local Windows resources. It's using some of the other resources, right? So really, we cannot do that. So we have to run it on that machine. So for that, what you can do is we have this force admin access shim. You can create an application fix for that particular application and install it on your local machine. When it tries to verify on your local machine, do you have admin privileges, all it's going to say is return true. So you can do that. And it's just lying to that application. But hey, it's a really easy fix. No problem. Okay, application compatibility manager. One of the other tools, like if you're supporting a big organization, we want to take an inventory of what are all the applications which we have, what are all the possible issues which we have. Hey, has anybody else across in this world run into this issue? How did they fix this issue? So application compatibility manager actually helps you to do that. And I'll show you a few slides and then we'll actually go into the demo. So by default, what it gives you is what is your operating system version. Like, you can create a data collector package and push it out to all of your machines, either by using System Center or by giving a MSI file to all of your users and say, install this on your application. That application knows to collect that information and send it back to the server where it is supposed to. So, and it gives you service pack level. It gives you all of the applications which are installed on that machine. What are the possible issues with that application as well? Did this application crash when it was being executed? So how it really works is when you create a data collector package, let me actually show you, and then it might make more sense. Come back over here, all programs, application compatibility manager. So to run the application compatibility manager, you need to have SQL Server and you need to have a network share, right? Because what we are trying to do is we are trying to create a package which I can install on multiple machines, which is going to give us the inventory of all of the applications too. Like, it's going to give me, hey, this application has 25 applications installed. And these all applications work with Windows 7, but these applications have reported issues, right? So how you would actually do it is there's this collect tab, right click, double click over here. What it primarily does is it gives you a simple screen which is actually saying, hey, what are you trying to do? You're trying to deploy a new operating system. So new operating system, and how many days do you want to collect this information? It's primarily saying, I'm going to say, I want to collect for 3 hours. Upload does not matter now. So what is my output location? Here's where you need a Windows share, right? You need a Windows share so that the compatibility administrator can look at that information and evaluate that information, compressed information or uncompressed information, and it can process that information too. So when you click on save, it's going to say, what the MSI file, So creating your data collection package. There we go. And then I think I put it over here. DCP stands for data collection package. Once you install this package, what it's primarily going to do is it's going to primarily execute itself. It's going to collect the information in the background, and when it's done executing, it's going to upload the information to the share. And when the information is saved into the share, it's going to be processed, and it's going to be over here. Analyze. Here's where it's actually going to show you what are all the applications which are installed on your machine. How are they executing? Were there any failures during execution? Whole nine yards, right? It really takes few days for you to capture all of this information and evaluate all of this information. Now, ACT also has a community. Has a community, which actually you can share all of your information to the community, saying, "Hey, I have Adobe PDF or Adobe Reader. It does not work with Windows 7." It does not work with Windows 7. If anybody else has run into that issue, the community is actually going to help you. So there are several applications which are recorded over there and how to mitigate that application as well. So you don't have to do it all by yourself, right? You don't have to do it all by yourself. So we also have the developer test tools which we looked at, like the standard user analyzer or compatibility administrator, which you can use. Okay. We did that. Any questions so far? No? Okay. Okay. So earlier, I was also talking about file and registry virtualization, right? So I'll also actually show you what it really means. Let's look at my machine back again. So I have this application called File and Registry Virtualization Test. What I'm trying to do is I'm going to try to write into Windows directory, and it's going to say user data, right? So I'm going to say my name is Sandeep, my work for Microsoft, and my title is PFE. And let's say save. It's saying it's saved, right? By default, it saved it. Now, I also want to open my task manager and actually look at the processes. Five test. I want to view select columns. Oh, I have to use the process explorer. I forget about that. So, okay. It said save successful, right? Let's go into C Windows. C Windows. Now, it should be over here called user data, but we are not finding it. It said save was successful, right? Now, what I'm also going to do is, this application also has this option to load the file. So I'm going to delete this, or I'm going to close this application just so that we know that it's going to load the data, and I'm going to just say, hey, load this information. User data loaded from Windows directory. Now, it did not write to C Windows. However, it got the information. How did it do that? This option is called virtualization. So we introduced this feature with Windows Vista. Now, if you actually see, there's this option called compatibility files, right? So if you click on compatibility files, here's where your file is saved. It's actually on your local profile. C users, admin user, app data, virtual store. Right? The same option exists for registry as well. The same option exists for registry as well. So if I did not, so the application is still working, right? So if I were to actually run it as an administrator, let's say right-click run as administrator. Yes? Test, test, test. and save this guy. Save, data saved. Let's go back to C drive, C Windows. Let's see. If I ran it as administrator, it is actually saving it to the C Windows folder. By default, if you run as a standard user, the virtualization kicks in and it says, hey, if you're trying to write anything to C Windows or C program files or any of the saved locations, even the registry, it's going to virtualize it and write it to your local profile information. So if you have any malware or anything, by default, it will not be able to write to the exact folders. Cool. Nice feature. Now, the same thing exists for registry. You can, I ran it as administrator. I don't want to run it as administrator. Let's write it to registry and click on save. It says I saved it to local machine software FIRB test, but I know where it is actually saved. It is actually saved into root virtual store machine software Microsoft. And refresh that guy. This is the application over here. So by default, we have file and registry virtualization. If you're running as a standard user, we are not going to allow you to write to protected locations, right? So for that, you might have to use a shim to actually redirect it to a specific folder. You can use a shim called local mapped object, and you can actually say, instead of writing to C Windows, write it to C colon slash share, right? Any question? Coming back, that's a file and registry virtualization. We did the demo. Here's what it really means. It's trying to write to a C Windows folder. It does not allow you to write it to there. And you can actually see the compatibility files option. Click on that, it actually takes you to your virtual store, right? The virtual store exists for Windows and program files. The registry exists for anything which you want to write to registry. The same thing with the registry. If you try to write anything to the registry, it will not allow you to. If you run as an administrator, it will allow you to do whatever you want, right? Okay. The shims, we have no virtualization shim. So if you actually put a no virtualization shim, it will not allow virtualization to happen for that particular application. It will give you access is denied directly, or it's going to error out, right? You can also do correct file paths. That's what it redirects a file to a different folder. You can do a virtual registry. You can actually redirect to write it to C root slash some other thing. And virtualize read files. Now, one of the things where this option says is virtualize delete files. So if you are trying to delete a file, some C Windows slash some folder, your application folder, it's truly not going to delete that file. It's just going to say return true that your application has actually deleted the file, right? I do not have the local time over here. It's 11:30. We have 10 more minutes, thank you. Okay, Internet Explorer. Now, you also might have Windows web applications as well. Quick show of hands. Yes, you support web applications? No? Okay, Windows 7 ships with by default with IE8. However, IE8 can actually emulate all the way back from IE5. It can emulate all the way back from IE5, right? Now, how can you do that? You can go into your application and put a meta tag on top of it saying meta HTTP equivalent compatibility, and you can actually say run it as IE 5.5, right? It can behave all the way from IE5. So but really, if you have applications which are running only on IE6, you don't have to stop upgrading to Windows 7. So that's what we wanted to tell you on the slide, saying I have all the way back from IE5. When IE8 can support all the way back from IE5, the same goes for IE9 as well. Right? The same goes for IE9 as well. Any question? All you have to do is put that meta compatibility tag. put the meta tag on your web application, and that can do it. You can do it on your you can do it on a page level, application level, or on the server level. That's on your IIS server. Okay. Coming back, user access control. This is what. So this is the dialog box which I was talking about earlier. Has anybody gone all the way down? My friend here and my friend there said yes. We really don't want you to do that. That is because when you do all the way to never notify, what really is happening is when I try to do a virtualization, like my application now is going to write directly to my Windows, or it's going to write to the registry, which I really do not want it to. So it's not really secure anymore. It's really not that secure anymore. By default, you might have admin privileges, but that least user access privileges are going to go away when you do all the way to the down. Now, here's what I was talking about earlier. We have three different colors. Blue, I'm bad with colors, orange and teal, I think. I don't know what that middle color is. But when you're looking at it, please watch out. The three dialog boxes mean different things. One of the things is, it is a Microsoft Windows application which is trying to access some protected locations, and it can potentially modify. That's the first one, on all the way on the top. The second one is, hey, Microsoft knows this application. It's a partner or Microsoft application itself. It knows this application. The third one is, it's a potentially dangerous application. We do not know this application, who created this application, and it's trying to access the protected locations. Do you really want to allow this application? So those are the boxes which you will lose if you go all the way down. Now, the same thing exists if you really do not have the elevated privileges, right? By default, what happens is it's going to give you that allow box, and it's going to say, hey, here it is. Now, I also want to show you one other quick thing. What user access control really means, right? By default, we saw the who am I slash all. However, I want to show you some other thing. So by default, I'm running a task manager, which is really the most simplest thing which everybody knows. Now, I'm also going to go into my view, select columns, and I'm going to say, hey, where's my process ID? There, right there on top. So my task manager is 2908, right? The process ID is 2908. However, it's showing me the shield icon saying, hey, if you click over here, you are going to elevate yourself, right? By default, we know that everything runs on standard user token. So if I were to click on that, it goes into, now if you go back to your task manager, 484. It's truly a new process. It's truly a new process with entirely different permissions now, right? So it by default, you as a user, when you are executing your application, it runs as the least user access privileges. When you click on elevate permissions or when you elevate the application, it runs totally on a different process because it's not virtualizing anymore, right? Make sense? So, coming back over here, we saw the USC prompts we saw over the period of time and the standard user permissions as well. Okay, what really is happening? When you execute an application, the app info service is actually looking at the application, and then it's actually going to say, hey, do I have the consent? Or if I'm already an admin I already have admin privileges, it's going to digest that box, and it's going to say, let me run this application. It creates a new process completely, and then it reparents that process. So earlier, that's why I showed you the task manager, because I can clearly see the different process IDs. So an application which was working by default, I can elevate it at any given point of time. However, it's a new process which it creates with the same parameters which it had before. Make sense? Any question? Okay, so we also have shims for user access control. If you want to do, run as admin, run as IS. This one was my friend over there in the back asked me. You can actually use run as admin as well. So for your application, if you are having the issue of it's not working as administrator, you can say run as admin. Now, there's also a tool called manifest.exe where you can actually change how the application executes as well. So manifest.exe comes with Windows SDK or with Visual Studio. Oh, last thing. Does anybody know about session 0, session 1? Session 0, session 1? Okay. By default, what used to happen with Windows XP, what we had was we had one desktop, like not a desktop in the sense of session desktop, right? When you logged in, when you as a user logged in, you were logging in into the same session where all the Windows services were running. So if a system service crashed, it used to hijack your system, right? It used to hijack your system, and your system could potentially become unresponsive. Now, what we have done with Windows Vista and Windows 7 is we have session 0 where all the system services are running. Now, when you log in, it creates a new session completely. So it keeps the system services on a different session and your user desktop on a different session. So if an application crashes or anything, it does not allow the system to take over by any of the process. So that's session 0 and session 1. That's about it. Any questions? Questions? Comments? Does it have effect to perform? So the question was, does the application compatibility fixes that you do have any effect to the performance? Now, the first initial run, it does. The first initial run, in the sense of when the shim engine has to know what your import table is and it has to calculate the APIs. However, for further executions, because the shim engine is already cached, that much performance impact. We have actually customers who, internally we did a internal evaluation test. We put like 2,000 applications on one machine and installed all of the 2,000 application fixes on one machine. We did not see that much impact. Any other questions? Cool. Thank you.